586-2237.
Let's state it real clear here. On last week's episode of the PowerCast, Chris and I said that we're going to change the logo for our show. The reason being that the hand looks cool. Nice looking hand, but it looks too close to the logo for the TV show Fringe. We were there first. We're not going to try to sue Fox or J.J. Abrams. We're just going to change our logo. So we asked for contributions. And we've gotten some pretty good ones. I think we might even have one already that is going to be the one. But we're not closing the door yet to more submissions. So if you think you have a good logo, send it to us. Send us the artwork, a sample, a rough, the complete thing, to news@theparacast.com. News@theparacast.com. As a matter of fact, one of our contributors sent, and this is interesting because we had just recorded the episode featuring Joshua Shapiro, the expert on the Crystal Skull. So we see a PowerCast logo with a blue background and what looks to be a crystal skull.
Imagine that.
Synchronicity.
Yep. Jung would be proud.
My wife, though, looked at the thing and said, you know what? It looks like something from the Terminator.
Well, we got our eyes on a couple of shows we'd like to terminate, so maybe it's appropriate.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of TV shows that got terminated this past season. Some I liked, some I didn't, but this is not a show about your favorite TV show. Although I kind of like Human Target, Lie to Me, and The Chicago Code on Fox, all terminated with Extreme Prejudice.
Yeah, didn't see any of them.
Chicago Code was good. Jennifer Beals plays the police superintendent, and, you know, she's watchable in many ways, so it was a very fascinating kind of show.
Yeah, she could cuff me.
Well, I won't tell her that. She'll think it's some kind of sexist remark. There was a liberal talk show host named Ed Schultz who was terminated for 1 week from his TV network because he called a conservative talk show host a slut.
Well, she probably is.
Uh-oh. I have to see. Is there a call coming from Ted Anderson at GCN about what he's going to terminate about us? Well, if he was going to do that,
let me guess who he was talking about. Some tall, lanky blonde, I would imagine, right?
Laura Ingraham.
Oh.
She's on another TV network, another radio network. She's on Fox News and also the Salem radio network. It's a rival network, so we can certainly attack people on rival networks, right?
Well, we don't really want to attack anybody. We're all from the Rodney King school, right?
Can't we just get along?
Yeah.
Except for Ghost to Ghost on Clear Channel.
Oh, okay.
There has to be
there are exceptions to every rule.
You know, there was a post in our forums at forum.powercast.com where they actually mention the shows that became train wrecks, where after an hour Bill Nell hangs up the phone on us, Steve Bassett, the ex-conference guy, has a bit of a meltdown, Stephen Greer becoming angry at us because we asked him a question.
Michael Toot the Meyer Horn.
Of course. He who shall not be named. That certainly was one. Then we had a couple of lesser meltdowns when we started asking Anthony Sanchez some serious questions about UFOs, and he didn't know them, and then he got out of the field 2 days later. He had his, shall we say, posthumous meltdown.
Delayed reaction.
Kind of.
A time-released meltdown.
Well, we record these shows in advance, so I guess it leaves a room for a time-released meltdown. On a previous episode, we asked some tough questions of Joshua Shapiro about the crystal skull, and I gather from the questions you asked that you accept some of this crystal skull lore, but some of the things he said were a little bit out there. Is that correct?
That's correct. I, as I explained on the episode, I've done quite a bit of research into the whole crystal skull mystery, and because a glass skull was found in the San Luis Valley, so it turned out to be a hoax, which I debunked, and But in the meantime, I was quite fascinated with a lot of the information that I dug up. I spoke with the preeminent expert in the field at the time, Nick Nocerino. And I became very fascinated with the whole subject. And since then, I've, you know, whenever I've had a chance to see one of the more, you know, notorious, I guess, for lack of a better word, one of the more notorious skulls, I have taken the opportunity to go see several of them. And they are very fascinating, very beautiful artifacts, what they actually mean, how they have created a cult of personality around themselves. You know, just interesting when people project enough into physical objects, they can literally gain a life of their own. I'm reminded, of course, of the very excellent book called The Secret Life of Inanimate Objects by Lyle Watson. I recommend it to all our listeners. Inanimate objects can become power objects if enough attention and belief is projected into them. So it was really fascinating to hear Joshua expound on his whole belief system that he's sort of created around the whole concept of the skulls. And he has a deeply personal relationship with his own crystal skull. And we could have really we could have dug a little deeper and really started crying foul on some of his you know, projections, his kind of generalizations about the whole thing. But it was fascinating to listen to somebody who has spent so many years studying this mystery. And I think our listeners will learn a lot from this segment.
One thing about it here, I think part of the problem is not that there aren't fascinating properties about crystal skulls, but he sold himself on the prospects of some kind of paranormal aspect to them. And he really believes it. Doesn't mean there isn't such a thing. But I think it's hard sometimes to separate your belief from the reality. So we don't know whether it's something that he's infusing into the crystal skull because of his belief that it does something magical, or it exists externally. And that's the mystery. Right. And I thought he was maybe, you know, kind of eating his own dog food there, acting a little bit too gullible about it, which is unfortunate because if there's any mystery to it at all, we can't ask scientists to go ahead and disprove it. We have to prove it first.
Exactly. Yeah, the onus is on the believer to bring enough data forward that would intrigue a scientist enough to get involved.
And maybe there was a way to do that, but not if you already prejudge what results you're going to get.
Yeah, he drank the crystal skull light Kool-Aid.
Yeah, he drank the Kool-Aid, and he was sold a little too much. Nice guy, though. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
And obviously he knows his lore. He knows about the history of these things. It's just that we really need people who have no opinion one way or the other to look at it, measure it, see if there's any way to create, as you and I said, a double-blind test to confirm whether or not there is some mystical property, or if it's just a fascinating piece of artwork, which itself is interesting because you have to look at the technology that might have been used to create them 1,000 or 2,000 years ago with so-called primitive implements.
Yeah, yeah. I still think the subject deserves research and some scientific scrutiny. I do think that there's a real possibility that these objects could have some sort of inherent properties, which we have yet to really define. And I'll leave it at that.
This week, we're going to go back to the conspiracy theory realm, and we focused on that a few weeks ago when we had former Governor Jesse Ventura, one of our best-received episodes yet, and it was fascinating that he dug it. You know, you kind of think after a whole day of dealing with the press, Jesse Ventura had gotten tired of it. He told us before the episode his arm was bothering him and everything. 2 hours later, he loved it. You can tell from the last 30 seconds. But the first conspiracy theory expert we brought on the show, lowly as many years ago, back in 2006, was Kenneth F. Thomas. And he's a guy who, you know, kind of covers it all.
Well, he sure does. This is going to be fun.
Indeed. He's going to talk about a reissuing of his book on the Maury Island incident. We're going to focus on all the various and sundry conspiracies, the latest and greatest. Now, understand, because there's a conspiracy theory doesn't mean that you shouldn't take the conventional wisdom response as true, but it opens up lots of incredible possibilities. Kenneth Thomas, coming up next on
The Paracast.
Okay, so who is watching your home when you're not there? Help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. It's the leader in home security. Remember, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. It comes with world-famous ADT yard signs. The monitoring cost is just $1 a day. You probably pay more for coffee. This is the safety for your family and your possessions. You can save up to 20% on homeowners insurance. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Call now and get $850 of equipment and activation free. Call 1-866-778-3127. Call 1-866-778-3127. And here's our fast disclaimer. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35 to $39 per month. Call for terms and conditions and license numbers.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, June 3rd, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1531.40. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1570.19, $785.09 for a half ounce, and $392.58 for a quarter ounce. That's $1570.19, $785.09, and $392.58.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore or trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I have teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $440 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkin. PlantSkin repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkin is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkin. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkin was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkin. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkin.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkin, proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Did you know that billions are spent every year just for a simple drink of water? But it's the quality of the water that Americans are concerned with, especially after floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, and other disasters that routinely disrupt and contaminate water supplies. Safe drinking water is too important to leave to chance. That's why you need an AquaRain water filtration system. The American-made AquaRain is an essential survival tool that operates for just pennies per gallon. It lets you retrieve water from lakes, ponds, streams, or rooftops during any disaster and assures you of healthy drinking water. The stainless steel AquaRain's patented space-age ceramic and GAC technology uses microfiltration and gravity to purify water. No chemicals, no electricity, no water pressure needed, and AquaRain's cartridges last for thousands of gallons. AquaRain is hands down the best water filter on the market. Call 800-572-2051 or go to aquarain.com. That's 800-572-2051 or aquarain.com. Every family needs an AquaRain.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Conspiracy theory time again on the Paracast. And on episode number 5, back in 2006. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. April 4th, 2006, we couldn't do it for April Fool's Day. We had Kenneth F. Thomas to talk about Maury Island, the Kennedy assassination, all that stuff. Fascinating interview. He's come on once or twice since then. And we thought, you know, after all these years, it's time to bring him back because, as he said himself, he's one of the founding fathers of the show. Now, what does that get you? A lot of guff, I guess.
God, I feel so old.
You do.
It was
you
only
should...
4 years ago, man.
Yeah.
Five years ago. You're so old, you forgot.
4 years.
He's missing
like
time.
99 generations in cyber terms, right?
Is that how it works?
I mean, it seems like it anyway.
For those who haven't explored Kenneth F. Thomas and his books and articles and Steam Shovel Press and everything, can you tell us what attracted you to, I guess, the realm of disbelief about conventional wisdom?
Well, the obvious that conventional wisdom is anything but wise, and you only have to study it for a brief period of time before you begin realizing that. But my earliest interest in counterculture stuff was Lenny Bruce, you know, the comedy of Lenny Bruce, which I was turned on to by watching Dustin Hoffman, which shows you what a Johnny come lately I am to the counterculture. And Lenny Bruce's, quote, autobiography was actually ghosted by Paul Krassner, a famous underground publisher of the newsletter called The Realist. And Paul was an associate of Mae Brussel, who was the maven of conspiracy theorists, you know, really the person that all the major people, like John Judge, for instance, of the Coalition for Political Assassinations in D.C., tutored under Mae Brussel. And she kind of almost invented the science of what I call parapolitical study, because I try to stay away from the term conspiracy theory because it's like a media laugh handle, you know.
I kind of use it as a way of connecting what you do to the subject so people understand where we're coming from.
Right.
But it's not meant to be deliberate.
Sure. But what?
No insult intended.
I like Ken's term, parapolitics. I think it has a real ring to it.
That's the one we use, as a matter of fact, when we first had you on the show.
Yeah, well, that prefix para means to run alongside. So when you talk about the paranormal, you're talking about things, events, creatures, stuff that runs alongside normal reality. Parapolitics, you know, politics is when you vote for people. And, you know, you have an election and you elect a person. Parapolitics is those kinds of politics that run alongside that normal process. Assassinations, conspiracies, subterfuge, sabotage, all the little dirty tricks. So it's a useful prefix.
Okay, so having gotten involved in this, was there a specific event in history that you say, you know what? What people say about this event can't be true?
Well, I was 5 years old when Kennedy was assassinated. You know, so the long history of dissembling just kind of unfolded in front of me in my life. You know, nothing that they said really added up to what I understood the facts to be. So if you want to pin down one particular event, it's the Kennedy assassination, November 11th, 1963.
All right, what about the Kennedy assassination? What factor caused you to become skeptical that it was just a lone, crazy gunman named Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, when you're 5 years old, you don't really think about it that much, but it's clear even to a five-year-old that this isn't the way things are supposed to proceed, you know? This is the first major political assassination in my lifetime, and I was kind of used to a normal existence before that. And, you know, it was only 5 years later that Robert Kennedy was assassinated, Martin Luther King was assassinated, and anybody growing up in that period has just got it hardwired into them that this is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, you're born to be skeptical. You know, nobody ever really believed the Warren Commission. You take a poll today, 90% of the people out there doesn't believe the Warren Commission. But the government has eroded its own credibility over decades in my lifetime.
Well, this is one thing there. Didn't a congressional panel conclude years and years ago there was possibly a conspiracy involved there?
Oh, that's absolutely true. Yeah, that was in the mid-70s. There was a committee on assassination that concluded that, in fact, Kennedy died as a result of a conspiracy, probably of mobsters, because the person who ran that that investigative group, Robert Blakey, was a specialist in mafia history. So lo and behold, boom, in his reality tunnel, the mafia did it. And that was the formal conclusion. So even today, the government actually has two formal conclusions, the Warren Commission, that it was a lone nut, and the Assassinations Committee Commission, that it was the mob. Now, the commission turned its findings over to the Justice Department, which just did nothing about it, just let it pass. There was never an official further investigation of who those mobsters were, or you know, or a collection of any of the data that really that indicates really concretely that it was. So the recommendations were all there, and then the ball was dropped.
How they
left now?
Yeah, we were saying.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're left now with, in terms of official government conclusions, two explanations. Just like with Roswell, you know, they've got air crash dummies and Project Mogul.
There's also this book now about Area 51. Excuse me. There's also this book about Area 51 that has yet another conclusion about this.
Is this Jacobson's book? This new one?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw that at an airport over the weekend. I flipped through it. I had some interesting pictures. I had like JFK at Area 25, things like that. But what conclusion is it reaching now?
Well, I think it's talking about something we did to kind of stage this to kind of spook the Russians.
Huh. Well, I thought they staged it to spook us.
Well, all right, let's one way or the other. It was basically someone being spooked by the Russians using children made up to look like space people. It seems also peculiar.
Well, the German Horton Flying Wing.
That's this new book by Jacobson?
Yeah.
Because I'm very surprised. You know, it's a Little Brown, a major publishing firm. It's one of the big, thick books. You know, it's a mainstream book. You buy it at an airport. And it looked to me like it would have... Well, actually, I guess that does make sense. You know, they're trying to cover up the alien angle, and they're saying that it's Russians and children. I don't know. As I recall, I was flipped through the index to see if Oswald was listed. Because if you remember Oswald's biography, he was stationed in Tsugi, Japan, where the U-2s flew out of. After he defected to the Soviet Union, somehow the Soviets had information enough about the U-2 to shoot down Gary Powers. Oswald had a job right before he got the job at the book depository. He had a job with Jagger Charles Stovall, a photographic firm that processed U-2 film. So Oswald was some kind of an agent connected to the U-2 program, and the U-2 program was developed at Area 51. And I was looking for that in Jacobson's book to see if, you know, if she made any of those connections, and I didn't find it. Like I said, I haven't studied it very closely.
We might have her on the show in the future. We're going to have to explore it. We have power political expert Kenneth Thomas. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors. Meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard 100 mason jars are indefinitely reusable and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids. The original since 1976.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
He looks 5 years younger.
He doesn't fall asleep at his desk like he used to.
He no longer drinks those energy drinks all day.
He used to be gloomy. Now he's upbeat.
He obviously has lost weight.
He's now drinking Moringa in the Morning from BigJoe.us. Moringa is a delicious, all-organic, 100% bioavailable blend from the Miracle Moringa tree, considered by many to be the most nutrient-rich plant ever discovered. Moringa in the Morning will suppress cravings for junk food and energy drinks and make you feel like a kid again. Drink Moringa in the Morning, available from BigJoe.us. That's BigJoe.us. Vibrant health is just a click or call away at BigJoe.us or 800-503-0515. 800-503-0515. That's 800-503-0515. Drink Moringa in the Morning.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Things more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. I'm the Paracast. One of our earliest guests returns, Kenneth Thomas, who studies parapolitics. We won't call them conspiracy theories because this is far more intriguing. We went back to the Kennedy assassination. Now, a few weeks ago, we had former Governor Jesse Ventura, and his claim to fame here is that he, an expert shooter, as opposed to Oswald being a marksman, two levels below that, tried to use a similar rifle to make those three shots. And he said he couldn't do it.
Does he still have his program? I haven't seen it in a long time.
I think it's going to come back this fall.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what to make of Jesse. You know, when he's back to the wall on some of the major media interviews, he'll say, oh, well, this is just all entertainment. As I recall, he very specifically put down one of his own guests as when he was being grilled, I think, by who that guy was that replaced Larry King, Piers Morgan. And he said, you know, I forget who the guest was, but he very clearly started taking an anti-conspiracy view and saying, well, this is just an entertainment show. And I think he kind of plays a role, usually, when you see somebody in the mainstream who's putting themselves out as a conspiracy theorist, they're usually playing some kind of role of a clown. You know, Will Smith is another good example. Donald Trump, you know.
Well, Trump especially.
But on the other hand, Jesse said some very great things, you know, and I think he's really right on the money. What I would want to know from him, though, is about Osama bin Laden, since bin Laden was killed by Navy SEALs and Jesse used to be a SEAL. And is there anything about the fact that bin Laden seemed to have been shot right at the exact same spot JFK was shot, in the temple? And, in fact, RFK was shot in the temple from behind. Is that some kind of signature professional hit place to kill a person? And I wonder if Jesse would know that.
Interesting.
That's curious. That is curious. I didn't think about that because I'm not a former Navy SEAL, nor do I play one on TV.
By the way, I should say hi formally to Chris. Chris, we haven't...
Yeah, Ken, long time no talk to you, man. How you been?
Hey, this is great. I've been okay. It's been okay. What was that? I think last time I saw you was in Sedona at one of David Childress's conferences?
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah. Well, you do great work, man. I love your Mysterious Valley book. And,
thank you.
I didn't realize you were on the Paracast until now. It's great.
Yep, I'm going on my... This is my 50th show, I think.
Is that right?
But who's counting?
Seems like you should be a guest more than a host.
Well, I'm working on both of them.
He kind of straddles the fence. Actually, 2 weeks ago, we kind of had a talk shop episode where we just talked back and forth, discussed our various experiences and the things we've investigated, and we answered questions. And for a lot of it, Chris was kind of a guest. So in that case, he kind of wore the two hats, which is fine because it's, I think, really good for the show. It's great for the show to have a seasoned investigator who knows whereof he speaks. Come on here. Not just a crazy talk show host or somebody who
exactly
is playing...
Right.
Who's somebody who's a performance artist who's just trying to pretend to be a talk show host and an investigator. He is the real thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely brilliant idea to have Chris as a host, man. I think I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm having fun. I'm not sure if some of our listeners are having fun. I've been taking a lot of flack for drinking the Kool-Aid in the eyes of some people, but... What a lot of our listeners don't realize is the older I get and the more I research and really dig into subjects, the more skeptical and conservative I think my view becomes. And I don't really buy a lot of what people really want to believe in, especially in the realm of UFOs and the paranormal. I think there's a lot of room for good scientific research and just hard work and let the facts kind of play out and give us the answers
that we're looking for. Yeah, common sense dictates that not everything is a conspiracy. Robin Ramsey, who does Lobster out of England, one of the great parapolitical writers in England, Robin Ramsey, who's a parapolitical writer in Britain, has made the point before that things are a combination of conspiracy, coincidences, or mistakes. And that's usually the case. Not everything is a conspiracy, not everything is a coincidence, and not everything is just a mistake. But that old canard that, if the government's involved, it can't be a conspiracy and they can't get anything done, might be a nice kind of broad stroke way of presenting your position about what you think about government, but we know for a fact that, in fact, they do these things, and they have pulled it off. There are conspiracies, and the government-run conspiracies that have taken place. The Kennedy assassination is a very clear one. Both Kennedy assassinations, in fact.
Let me raise that, because I think we should not let that drop. We understand about the original Kennedy assassination, why we could regard it as a conspiracy, and why certain conspiracy theories have sense, such as, of course, organized crime. For one reason or another, and obviously all the books explain that. I won't get into it here. But what about Robert Kennedy's assassination? What about that is conspiratorial to you?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because just recently in the news, Sirhan has finally admitted, or not admitted, because all this time he's been in a fog about what he did that day that Kennedy was shot. He just basically said that he can't remember it. But now he's... beginning to affirm the idea that he was hypnotized into whatever role he played, and that this woman in the polka dot dress, who was famous in the studies of the RFK assassination, although not very well known to the general public, but that she was some kind of trigger mechanism for him. And of course, in his journals, he writes very hypnotically over and over again, RFK must die, RFK must die, RFK must die.
And then like a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
Like a Manchurian candidate. And when he was jailed, the person that came to visit him was Julian West, I think, who was a known MKUltra guy. And after he got his visit in jail and was given his keyword, after that he couldn't really remember what he did. Now, he constantly comes up for parole. And one time, I actually knew his defense attorney, or the guy who was, his attorney to go before the parole board to try to get him released or reduced sentence or whatever. The guy's name was Marty Jeters, and he was going to present this defense. I remember having this discussion with him. He was going to present the mind control defense, and I told him, "Yeah, it's pretty clear that's what happened here, but give me one instance where the mind control defense has ever worked in a court of law."
Yeah.
I mean, the most you can come up with is maybe the Twinkie defense in the Moscone assassination. But they don't want to hear it. And now, whoever is Sirhan's attorneys now are doing the same thing. They're going before the parole board and say, oh, he was hypnotized. And, you know, because that's really the only conclusion you can reach when you study the facts. But it's not, you know, it's never really a credible defense. It never really gets you anything. And it hasn't gotten Sirhan anything now. So.
But the larger part of the picture here is, okay, if he was a Manchurian candidate, so to speak, he was hypnotized, mm-hmm. under mind control. Who did it?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are different theories. Saint Caesar, the security guard, for one. But it's also very clear that whatever Sirhan did, he was not in a position to shoot RFK where the bullets entered. And in fact, when you see the pictures of RFK dying, he's like holding on to somebody's tie. He like turned around and grabbed the tie of this guy. And I think, I don't know if this has been officially concluded, but it's supposedly the security guard guy's tie. So Sirhan shot, but he didn't, the powder burns that they discovered, when they examined RFK's, body were from the other side of where Sirhan was standing.
All right, so the cut the chase here. We're saying here that maybe he did shoot a gun, but he isn't the person who actually killed RFK. I guess that's what you're saying, and we'll have to explore that in more detail in a moment. Before we split for that break, if you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, we want to hear from you. Good, bad, or otherwise, write us, news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. We especially want to hear from you with your ideas about our new PowerCast Pro service. This is where we're going to, for a small monthly or annual fee, offer you extra added attractions. The main show is going to be free. The forums are free. But we're going to offer extra content, videos, discussions, and lots, lots more on PowerCast Pro. We welcome your ideas about it. So write us. We have Kenneth Thomas. He studies power politics. He has a publication called Steam Shovel Press. He has a new book, new version of his Maury Island book coming out. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Extend your life.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Economists, politicians, and even the average citizen can agree we may only be days or weeks away from the next terrible event that could literally change the face of life as we know it. Learn the secrets of the world's top survival and preparedness experts at the DFW Marriott in Dallas, Texas for the 2011 International Survival and Preparedness Conference on Memorial Day weekend, May 28th through 30th. Register at survivalist.com or toll free 866-437-6570 before time runs out. That's survivalist.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, you have to realize that it's taken a while, but Chris has finally learned the beat. He's on the beat. You know, and musicians and actors know this. You have to be on the beat. You have to know your mark. And so when I say you're in, he's able to say, now he can't do it.
The Paracast.
He was ratcheting up for me doing it at the end of each segment. And this time I caught him off guard.
Yeah. Wasn't ready.
That's a conspiracy theory in and of itself. We have Kenneth F. Thomas here.
Before we get too far afield on the JFK assassination, one thing that was extremely fascinating to me when I read when I first read your Maury Island book was a very mysterious character that crops up in some pretty unusual places, including right smack dab in the middle of the Maury Island incident. And that's a very interesting character named Fred Lee Chrisman. Do you want to speak about Chrisman and then maybe sort of dive into the Maury Island incident? Because there's been some pretty interesting articles I've seen recently that have attempted to tie JFK's assassination into some sort of ufological context. And Fred Lee Chrisman might be a linchpin for that.
Well, yeah, Chrisman is, actually, but he doesn't seem to factor into all these recent news articles, like the one that JFK ordered all the UFO files 10 days before his assassination. He wanted to see the UFO files before he went to into some kind of meetings with the Russians. That has nothing to do with Chrisman. And then there was another recent FBI memo by a guy named Guy Hotel, who was the FBI agent in charge of in the Pacific Northwest in the state of Washington, who wrote a memo talking about flying saucers that sounds very much like the Roswell incident. So those were two mainstream stories that hit like the Yahoo and the AP and all that. Neither of those have to do with Chrisman. In fact, very few people know Chrisman's name, even though Chrisman is the guy that Jim Garrison thought was the Grassy Knoll shooter. Now, Jim Garrison, as you recall, prosecuted a guy named Clay Shaw in 1968 for the assassination of JFK. It was made famous for people that came by much later in 1992 when Oliver Stone did his movie JFK, which was based on Garrison's case. But even in that movie, he makes the point, because in the movie they don't mention Chrisman at all either, but he makes the point that the guy that they are prosecuting, Clay Shaw, is just a toehold in the larger conspiracy. And in fact, there was another guy, Edgar Eugene Bradley, who Garrison thought he had a much better case against, but Ronald Reagan refused to extradite out of California, so he wasn't able to prosecute him. Clay Shaw was just the guy that Garrison had enough on to go forward in court. The shooter, the guy he thought was the shooter, was Fred Lee Chrisman. And you're right, Fred Lee Chrisman was known before 1968, back in 1947. He was a famous witness to the first UFO event of the modern era, of the post-war era, the one that, you know, usually people say Kenneth Arnold saw the chevron shapes over Mount Rainier, and that was the first one. 3 days before that, there was the Maury Island incident.
Now, before you go into details here, I want to dovetail this with a recent book that came out that we're going to be talking about on our next episode called Flying Saucers Over the White House by Colin Bennett. And he mentions it's mostly about Edward Ruppelt, of course, who was the head of Air Force Project Blue Book back in the 50s. And he wrote a book called The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects, a bestseller. And in that book, he talks about a dirty hoax perpetrated by someone he calls the Chicago Publisher. And we all know the Chicago Publisher was none other than Ray Palmer, who, of course, was editor of Amazing Stories when Richard Shaver came aboard. He was one of the founders of Fake Magazine, all that stuff. Okay, so Palmer called Kenneth Arnold and said, hey, this sighting occurred up in the neck of the woods in which you live in, you know, near the state of Washington. Why don't you go out and investigate it? I'll pay your expenses or maybe pay you for an article or something like that. And Arnold did. And that forms, you know, one of the strange events that surround the Maury Island incident. But why did Ruppelt call it a dirty hoax? Why?
Okay, well, first off, let me explain that this new edition of the book has several sidebar articles that focuses a little more clearly on things like that. I have a whole article on what Ruppelt said about Maury Island. He goes through the whole incident, in fact, but he gives everybody different names.
He called, like, Palmer's the Chicago Publisher.
I know he called Chrisman, like, Simpson and Dahl was given another. He actually gives them other names.
Why?
The reason that he's calling it a hoax and that many, many people have called it a hoax over time is because the other participant, the other witness to the Maury Island incident, Harold Dahl, said it was a hoax. So, I mean, if you got the major guy telling you it's a hoax, then, you know, you're going to have confusion down through the years. And the Maury Island case has indeed been dismissed as a hoax by many more people than just Ruppelt. But the reason for that, and I get, you know, a little bit more detail about this, is that after the incident, and I guess I should go into detail what the incident actually was.
Maybe before we even go into the aftermath, before we go into the aftermath, really, a real brief Reader's Digest summary for listeners who say, Maury Island, what was that?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Let's have that Reader's Digest summary for what this incident is all about. It'll help frame what you're about to say. Go ahead.
Okay, all right, sure. All right, okay. It's six flying saucers. One of them is wobbling. This is over Puget Sound in near Tacoma, Washington, in the Pacific Northwest. These guys are on a harbor patrol boat. They are not harbor patrolmen. They don't work for the civil patrol. They're recovering logs in a log operation. And I could go into detail on that, but that's probably too much detail.
Sure.
But they see these flying saucers over their ship. One of them is wobbling and starts spitting out material, a black material and a white material. And then it's touched by one of the other saucers. It straightens up, and they all fly away. And the stuff that came down, a lot of it was very hot. You know, when it hit the water, steam would go up. Some of it hit the guy's pet dog, and the dog was killed. And his son was hit. Charles Dahl was hit in the arm, and he was so wounded that they took him to a hospital. And that was the first part of the incident. And Dahl went and took this story to Chrisman because he felt that Chrisman was his boss, even though records indicate that the boat, the North Queen, is actually registered to Dahl. Dahl owns the boat. Chrisman comes down the next day and has a sighting of his own by himself. And it's just a flying saucer passing overhead. And so that's the main incident. And the reason, of course, Dahl went to Chrisman was because, you know, he was damaged to the boat, and he felt that, you know, He had to tell Crisman something. Crisman, you know, because he thought Crisman was his boss, he would think that, well, he was drinking and he destroyed the boat, but that's not what happened. He told Crisman the story. He told everybody he knew the story. He told, you know, he was dumbfounded by it all. He had to take his kid to the hospital. His dog died. It was very real to him, and he was telling everybody, and what happened? What always happens when you got a witness like that, particularly this early in the history of UFOs? Who showed up? Man in black. A man in black came to him and said, listen, buddy, shut up. You know, you didn't see anything. And if you start telling people, more people about this, bad things are going to happen to you. That didn't stop Dahl. He said, Harold Dahl was not originally frightened by the man in black. He just went ahead and he was just telling people what happened to him. He knew what happened to him. Like everybody who sees a UFO, you know, you can explain away as much of it as you want. But if you saw it and you were there, and he started telling people. Then his son, healed from the wound at that point, disappeared. His wife fell ill, and his business began to fall apart. All the bad things that the men in black told him were coming true, and his life was being ruined. So at that point, he says, I made it all up. It's a hoax. Don't believe me. It was just a big old joke, just to get out of the trouble that the men in black were bringing upon him. I should also mention, too,
physical evidence.
What's that?
Yeah, mention the physical evidence.
There's what's called the flag, the stuff that the UFO ejected. But more to the point on the Men in Black, I should mention that that David Childress has just reprinted Jim Keith's great book on the history of the Men in Black called The Case Book on the Men in Black, and I've written a new foreword to that book. So just to let people know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about Men in Black, get that book, and you'll have the background. But yeah, Dahl... part of the reason why Dahl was so brave in the first place, if I'm talking about this, he had proof. And Crisman had the proof. And in fact, when Arnold finally gave up, Arnold's investigating this, he's even got his friend Emil Smith, who was another famous witness to a UFO event. They're all they're interviewing Crisman and Dahl at the Winthrop Hotel there, and a lot of strange things are happening to them, too. It seems like the room is being bugged and all this other stuff, and they just, after a while, they're just scratching their head. Crisman and Dahl actually show them some of the stuff. They don't know what it is. So they call in counterintelligence people from the Army.
We'll get into that in a moment. We'll continue with Kenneth Thomas recounting the Maury Island incident and why it should be taken seriously. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.